My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
Jim, we built this channel taking a look at old Wizards. Thought why not flip the script a little bit, dig into Hero Illustrated number 2. But first, what do you have?
Patreon.com/Jim Rugg is where you can join me to see all of my original art, how I make comics, such as this Street Angel After School Kung Fu Special, still available from Image Comics, the oversized deluxe hardcover. And you can see some of the extras that come with something like this are the back matter, the end pages. This was one of my favorite design projects ever, were these hardcovers from Image. So figured I would show them off while they're still in print and available. But you can see all of this and a lot more on my Patreon at patreon.com/Jim Rugg.
Red Room Comics, out in the wild, man. Get them while they're hot. Murder on the Dark Web for fun and profit. It's going to be coming out on a monthly basis. I have to thank you, Jim, for your glorious variant covers that you provided, and I have to thank the kayfabe audience for ordering these things in a very, very big way. If you want to read Red Room Comics ahead of time, hit up my Patreon, patreon.com/Ed Piskor. Have well over 3 issues up there right now. They'll come out before they hit print, and new strips come out every Tuesday. So, Jim, Wizard Magazine, pretty bad magazine. Want to go in a little deeper with with one that's even more off the wall?
I always see people talk about Hero as if it's a higher quality version of Wizard. I don't know if I can tell a quality distinction, but nevertheless, kind of fun. And one thing that Hero did do right away was they would include these mini comics. And I'm not sure which mini comic came with this, but it's one of these two is the mini comic that was included with this. And I did like all these mini comics.
So dude, I had to grab your thing because your gatefold works.
Oh no.
Like, here's our Dave Dorman.
That's a cool cover. I do like that cover a lot.
He's pretty badass, man.
Yeah.
He's a badass painter.
I used to have a Judge Dredd painting of his on my wall. Print, but, you know, it came from Comic Scene when they would do their poster magazines. But yeah, I was a Dave Dorman fan, and Predator and Aliens, perfect.
Yeah, so cracking it open, we do know that there is an ash can.
With metallic foil ink cover.
All right, man. So it's one of these.
It is one of those. And I think their numbering system was a little bit off. This is a preview of the last issue of Madman that Tundra published. And, you know, looks good, full color, kind of neat. And then this is the Matt Wagner Grendel Batman team up. And it's awesome because it has some previews, but it also has some sketches and sort of more of the behind the scenes kind of stuff, which I really would dig at this time. You know, like, I always love seeing these artists' sketches like this and any notes they have on what they're thinking, why they're doing what they're doing. So I dug these things. I still have a big stack of all these mini comics that came out of Hero. And eventually Wizard adopted that and did some of their own mini comics.
Right.
This was an iconic ad for me too. One of the great crossovers. We looked at those recently, and to me, that's one of the better crossovers.
Pogs are mentioned on the editorial on page 1, so that gives you an exact snapshot of the time period that we're talking about here.
Pogs mentioned several times. Here's the ad. Like, Entertainment This Month would always appear in Marvel comics, DC comics, all these comics, and they'd be advertising non-Marvel DC stuff, especially when Image popped up. I ordered from them more than once.
Yeah, that's super cool. I always fantasized about it, but you know, one comic in the hand was worth 2 in the mail when I was a young kid, man. So I could never sit still enough to order something and let it show up.
I would double buy so much stuff because I would order it, and like, it wouldn't ship your order until the last book was available. And if it was an Image book, that might be 6 months.
I see.
And I would end up at a comic shop before then. I would order because I didn't want to miss the stuff. But if I would see it ahead of time, and I would, I'd find it at a flea market or at a comic shop. And then it'd be like, well, I've got to have this new Youngblood.
Sega, Super Nintendo, all of that is still out in the mix, man. This is the exact formative years, man.
Yeah, typical letter column. Not too much happening there, but you do get some of the letter, the envelope art that looks pretty good. And I think it's interesting to see, like, how popular was Spawn? Half their envelope art is Spawn.
Yeah, man. And they're still doing massive giveaways, so they are just building their mailing list, man, so that they can you know, charge video game companies premium dollars for ad space.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Their giveaways are one of the interesting pieces of these early Heroes. I mean, Avengers number 1. Kind of unbelievable.
I'm sure dipping into some of the editors and stuff collections, man, for the good of the product.
Barry Windsor-Smith leaving Valiant and going to Malibu on Rune. That's a big, big news item for this month. Yes. Big news to me at the time.
And they'll be talking with Barry Windsor-Smith, Howard Chaykin, Jim Starlin about their Malibu books, their Bravura line, I believe is what it was called. And just knowing some inside baseball, the reason you never see stuff even like prime and junk like that, the sort of royalties that those guys have built into the contracts, Marvel would never.
You know what? I'm glad
sound like that bird. It's like,
it does sound close.
It sounds like it's in this wall.
wonder if that's showing up on the mic. Lightning Comics. It's funny that they get their press releases everywhere, and one of their gimmicks is they'll never exceed 250,000 in their first printings of any books. So keep it collectible.
Yeah, real wishful thinking, man.
But that's the truth.
And yeah, one thing that's cool is industry newcomer Carl Kershaw is an illustrator for one of their products. Man, he's a kayfaber. I've seen him comment on some of our stuff, and I believe he shared studio space with Andy Bellinger.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The Tick animated series ramping up. That's pretty awesome.
Ben Edlund signed up as a creative consultant, and then I don't know how this works. Maybe he did some spec work or something, and they were like, okay, yeah, like, you're a writer now.
Yeah, unexpected enthusiasm. Fox has expressed unexpected enthusiasm. Boy, that's a rough sentence to write. For his extensive involvement in the show. To Stan Lee, they pinched Stan Lee to write this news. And that's Image cutting back on titles.
Yes.
You know, noteworthy because as we continue to look at this 90s stuff, and I think we are going to get back into Wizards, we'll look at some of these heroes, probably comics journals, because that second half of the 90s is such an interesting time period, and you start to see it. You know, Image was just gangbusters for that first 2 years, and now they're already cutting back. This is fun, too. The Neil Adams Valeria the She-Bat. It's going to be mentioned somewhere in here that you know that was supposed to be a Spawn crossover,
yeah.
And it's just never published. Man, continuity is a funny one too. Jim Shooter in Forbes magazine talking about the end of his Valiant relationship. I kind of want to read that article.
I totally want to track down that issue, man.
Yeah. Spike Lee doing some comics work for Dark Horse. Floaters is a comic that I have seen, like that definitely it came exists, out, but yeah. I never read it. Did you ever read that?
No.
Did you ever see it? Be curious to see what that's like. Interesting, these relationships. You know, Dark Horse was doing a lot with different media.
And comics, when they were hot, people were coming in, man. Spike Lee, we're going to be talking about Clive Barker in a minute. Spogs. Like,
this is the end of Eclipse Comics, essentially, right?
You're right. Dude, just a pog with a bearded guy. Now, who we know to be Jason Wynn, but could you possibly be stoked when you buy some Spogs, man, and like you accidentally get the Jason Wynn pog?
I don't understand any of this. I've never been an older man than whenever you pull out pogs and I'm just confused.
Todd McFarlane does it again. Yeah, what did you exactly do? License your stuff?
Because this is McFarlane and Eclipse building their relationship, it right? Is. And then McFarlane buys out a bunch of Eclipse property whenever they go bankrupt. So who knows? Seeds planted around this time.
Yep.
The Ultraverse ads and the Lightning Comics ads, not that different.
Nor are the comics' greatest worlds, man.
That machine is that Mignola cover there on that
yeah,
machine?
It is.
The machine credits Chris Warner, cool, Jim O'Barr, cool, and Mike Mignola. That should have been the best comic of the decade.
The Heroes Reviews, man, they shotgun a whole bunch of ads, give you the good, the bad, the ugly, but it's all pithy and you really can't use it.
Check out that Next Men cover. So I was a big Next Men fan, and I would love when they would do these covers where it's like original art and logos pasted up and stuff. Pretty cool. And Midnight Men is Chaykin coming back to comics, you know, drawing some comics. In this case, he was doing Heavy Hitters and Bravura.
Yes.
You know, like whatever the creator owned stuff that became available or trendy or, you know, whatever, it's like he signed on for those. And I feel like there are other guys that would do that. You know, like Sergio Aragonés has talked about these kinds of things. I credit these creators who hold out for these deals.
Right.
You know, they recognize that what they have is worth more than a page rate. Savage Dragon 1 in there, From Hell. It's an interesting cross-section of what books are being included in this list.
Right.
Ravage 2099, like issue number 9.
it does run the gamut.
That Monster Massacre one's really awesome.
We looked at that here.
Yeah, Kevin O'Neill and Simon Bisley in there. That's one, if you're at home and you see that somewhere at an affordable price, that's a fun book.
These sort of preview articles are real awesome to give you another good cross-section of what's out there. And the cool thing about the hero stuff is they will get a little bit deeper than just the wizard stuff in a lot of ways. So you'll get a Drunen quarterly effort. You'll get a Fantagraphics piece.
Calibur's mentioned here.
Yeah.
You know, I've made a big production about how Calibur and Wizard seem to be at war with each other for how much it's never mentioned.
Right.
Mentioned here. Brandon Lee, Taken Too Soon, Unauthorized Biography from Boneyard Press.
So gross. and they mentioned, like, we're astonished at how fast he gets these things out. Like, the body isn't cold yet.
You won't be astonished when you review that issue.
Yeah.
Blazing Combat was put out apparently as a comic book from Apple Comics, who would do some of the war, like the Vietnam journals and stuff. I had no idea that existed. That's one that I actually added to my list. Blazing Combat being Warren's war magazine. If that's available as a comic book at an affordable price, I'm in. Archie Goodwin, Gene Colan, John Severin, Wally Wood, Alex Toth.
There was some weird back and forth, if you remember some of the Comics Journal stuff we were covering, because Mike Catron, the kind of Pete Best of Fantagraphics, who put in with Gary and Kim early on, he pulled out of Fantagraphics, created Arrow Comics, and there were legal battles because Harris Comics is out at this point. They bought the Warren catalogs. Presumably that would have included Blazing Combat. So there were weird legal struggles back and forth with this, and I don't remember how it materialized, but I do think I have a copy of this reprint, so Catron must have been able to put one out, or maybe you put one out and then get sued.
Yeah, right. I think that happens sometimes, or cease and desist it. The Avengers never looked worse than this ad.
It's unfathomable to me. Like, young Eddie, who picked this magazine up at the time, would laugh in your face if you told him that Avengers is a cool, popular property in the year 2020.
Yes. You know what's funny is if you look at the characters, they're all looking in different directions.
Yeah.
It feels like they're being attacked by 20 different enemies from all sides, except they're all standing there in their cool pose. Right. None of them are, like, battle ready. But that blue sky with all the every other character's blue costume, do better.
and like, the X-Men characters don't even look cool. Like, you have to be a Jim Lee clone to make these characters look, that does not look cool at all. But how does it look cool when Jim Lee does it?
Yeah, it's a strange ad, and this, we'll point out probably a few more of these. I think it speaks to how much comics were done, like, up to the minute.
Yeah.
So you get these ads that are like not finished art, not final cover, pencil art, you know, like all of these pieces, and it's kind of wild. It feels like this is a very different time period.
Preview for Understanding Comics, getting in deep and actually getting a couple words from McLeod himself about the rubric that he's putting forth to us.
Yeah, what a huge book that was. And on the same page as an R. Crumb sketchbook that Fantagraphics is putting out. So yeah, this is a nice preview of things that are coming out. And speaking of, like, that early art, I really like that Deathlok art.
I know, right?
I'll always pick up Deathlok series because their covers look so good, and then I'm usually just not sold on them for one reason or another, but man, that looks pretty neat to me.
Yeah, that artist, that Kobayashi, or however you say his name, like, he would do some really great late period G.I. Joe comics that were just wild looking, man. Crazy facial expressions. Rock and Roll Racing, man. Had actual music, man. You got to hear the Peter Gunn theme. And very exciting.
I always hated the Hero Insider, because let me read one for you. So, like, the fourth one down is, word up, the big rumor from a certain comic distributor is that Mr. Personality is on his way out. Premature to say the least. He's looking, and they're not stopping him. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Hero. No idea.
Yeah, like, you know, comics is you know, one thing, but, like, when you try to get a page six for comics, just doesn't work, because ultimately, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it's two inside comics for me, anyway. Love Savage Dragon. See Savage Dragon ads, cool. And Mike Allred. Man, I think about him a lot. Like, if I feel like he really benefited from Wizard Hero. Like, you know, he's always very presented in a very flattering way. And it always surprised me, because I was reading him from the very first Madman series that Tundra put out. And loved it. Big fan. But surprised as he would become more and more mainstream. And I think part of it is, one, the guy's a good guy. If you ever meet him, it's very easy to talk to him, you know, normal guy, talented, whatever. But also, I think he always delivers. You know, I think he's a relatively fast artist and that dependability is important, but it really felt like his style was something that was new and fresh. And when that folds into like Marvel DC, nobody was drawing that way. It's very different than say, like, this is Image Comics would be my favorite thing at this time. He was the opposite of Image Comics.
You think about it, it's like there's Image Comics and then there's just the general grim and gritty stuff. So this is that Gretzky thing of like, go where the puck is going, not where it's been. And he's just a different dude on the racks, man. Yeah. So I imagine like a Brian Hibbs kind of smart retailer for people who just want something other than that stuff. This is the one book you could put into their hand.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Bone benefited from that, man. It's like, if you just don't want an alcoholic Iron Man or something right. like that, like, you just read this.
Yeah, it's well said, Ed. And also, I think he's a good artist, which allows totally. Him to be able to do a DC Vertigo book and then to do X-Force, although mixed reviews on that one, at least from the longtime readers.
When he lists his influences here, they all make sense. And then he gets pinups from these artists, like on the back cover, and he just mentions it, like, it would be cool to have a set of trading cards or something. I think ultimately there are two. But I do wonder, like, how that part worked for him. Because, I mean, he did get, like, you know, Dave Stevens, one of the notorious slowest artists in all of comics, to do a very beautiful, detailed piece for him. Is he commissioning that out of his own pockets? Like, is that a Kevin Eastman gimmick? Like,
he got a Jim Rugg at one point, and that was commissioned, I assume, out of his pocket. You know, I was paid for it, right. Let's say. You know what? That's a pretty good one, too, for, like, invest in yourself.
Yes.
Because it's really smart to put a Dave Stevens madman, you know? Like, whatever that cost, it's worth it for the promo, being able to reproduce that, to show it off.
Yeah, shit. I had the first issue I bought, it was, like, 8 or 9. It had Alex Ross did the color on the cover, and the back flip piece was Frank Frazetta.
Yeah, that's another piece of Allred is just smart, because that is something he was doing from early on, and man, it is a who's who. Like, there's a Dan Clowes Madman piece that's really cool.
There were the jam covers where just other artists would draw little pieces. Clowes did a piece there, man. It was like an eyeball with a nutsack hanging from it. But he's talking also about merchandising, man, and when you just see that logo right there, like, that's somebody with an eye toward that. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, I would like water wings and color forms and all that stuff. And it fits with the pop art aesthetic of the comic. Like, there should be SpaghettiOs with Madman or something.
He's also, it seems like he gets there honestly. Like, he does graphic music and, you know, some of these comics that aren't quite fully formed, you know, to arrive at a Madman that, yeah, make the metal lunchbox, you know, make those licensed objects. So, yeah, it's definitely another guy that's not taking shortcuts to get there.
So we have the Bravura Cats, man. Chaykin, Windsor Smith, Jim Starlin, talking about their books. All of it is like, begins, so how'd you arrive at Malibu? Once again, man, like that inside baseball gimmick. These guys were given a very, very handsome deal. Prominent creators of the day, people who are referenced by, you know, the Image guys as being important to them. These guys were able to, you know, punch their own ticket. And Malibu were the guys that were putting the biggest money down.
I bought all these.
Yeah.
Back in the day, whenever they came out. Very smart, I think, business move by Malibu, because they go from a year with, you know, Image year one is on their books. Like, they've seen how this juggernaut works. They've probably got some infrastructure set up in place. Why not roll some of that, you know, both that infrastructure and also the money that they made? Let's see another. Let's do an Image that you get to keep.
Right.
Even if you don't own the characters, you know, you get to keep that imprint. And, you know, probably more than anything, a victim of just the collapse of the comics industry. There was so much of this stuff. And I don't know that these are the best works of any of these three creators. You know, no. Like I said, I was buying them at the time very excited. And they were cool. They looked, you know, they had moments. But it wasn't. It didn't feel like it set the comics world on fire.
No. It seems like they made the deal before they came up with the book or whatever. Windsor Smith talking about, I have some Marvel work coming out pretty soon, man. Life Dev 3, 40 pages. You know, I just got to ink a couple more. That does not come to fruition and becomes Ad Astra in Africa, published by Fantagraphics. I was hoping, as he was like talking about that stuff, that he was going to like make mention of his Hulk comic that he's been working on for a while, but that thing ain't even mentioned.
Yeah. I think it's cool to see that what these creators are suddenly allowed to do. You know, like, maybe that Life Death 3, the only place it could have been published in the early 90s is Marvel. But as all of this stuff opens up, suddenly he can keep that. You know, that can be his. And I don't know what the circumstances were for how that ended up where it ended up.
Yeah.
But it does feel like, you know, these guys that were stuck with work for hire suddenly do have all of these new options. And you can't quite put that genie back in the bottle, even if the market collapses.
These guys are all kind of like playing around with all the publishers, by the way. Like Winsor Smith, he's got some Dark Horse stuff in the hopper. Jim Starlin is writing some of that Infinity Gauntlet shit and doing his Bravura thing. We just saw Midnight Men from Howard Chaykin, and he's doing his Power and Glory gimmick for Bravura. So the big two are not as rigid as they were with those young Image boys. And these guys are playing the field, man, making hay while the sun is shining, I guess. And I think Chaykin did say one or two times in our interview that he does live within walking distance of the beach, so it worked out.
Yeah, I wonder if that's Hollywood, though, not not any of these comics projects. Maybe, yeah, sure. Black Kiss.
Yeah, right.
Gotta love the Shadowhawk cover expose cover gimmick. That's a ridiculous cover gimmick.
One of the greatest moments in kayfabe history when we cracked the perforation on one of my covers and we actually opened that thing and saw that arm is about the length of a human body.
Shadowhawk should have been playing basketball.
Three sets of elbows.
Or beach volleyball. Anything that those super arms would have been an advantage for. Other than breaking people's backs.
How about this dot matrix printer ad for this R Comics thing?
I have this, by the way. There was a lenticular cover, yes. like on it. I have one where the cover's fallen off. the glue, I guess, just got old.
It's just rich kids or something.
It's not very good.
Yeah, like they just have, you know, some kind of skill. They can work with a publisher and actually like have something printed, but there's nothing behind it.
Man, look at that list of original art that Bo and Board are selling there. Man, Del Keown, Dave Lapham, Eric Larson, some good stuff there.
Yeah, for sure.
That early original art market starting to become profitable. You wonder, like, what does this company become if they go on to become, you know, Bo and Board, I don't know of now, but with these connections, you wonder if they continued dealing original art as some other entity.
Yeah, is that Felix Comic Arts today?
I was pretty underwhelmed by this article. It's talking about acid and paper, which kind of cool, but I can't believe this is what you're printing in your second issue.
Jim, you got to give it some time, man, because this is only part one of three. It's going to be fair. The next 2 months worth of Hero Illustrated, so maybe you'll have to change your tone.
That's true. And I do like it a lot better than Wizard's first 12 identical How to Grade Your Comics segment.
Right. And here's the nonplussed Jim Lee poster that was advertised on the poly bag.
Yeah, how about that? One for Malibu on the way out the door. Look on the back side of that real quick, because it's an interview with the character Mantra.
Oh, fuck this. Fuck this. There's not enough minutes in a day for that shit.
That's another one of those ads that I think, like, wow, they just aren't ready for 2 months from now.
It looks like Robin and Eddie Furlong from Terminator 2.
That's hilarious. With photo referencing.
With a knife arm.
This Bloodlines gimmick ran through like all those annuals, and it was supposed to introduce like a new character. I don't think any of those characters caught on, like 50 issues or something.
One character caught on from that, and that was the Hitman character from Garth Ennis. Yeah, it had, you know, 50 issues or something like that, but that's the only one. You know, this presumably this would be the character.
Oh, it's not that could, Eddie Furlong with the razor
could
arms?
Be.
Those are arms. If you look, you like, know they're what? Coming out of her sleeve. I don't know if that's a her or him, but coming out of the sleeves.
We might both be right. New heroes and new villains.
Two new ones in this one.
Yeah, I wonder why she didn't catch on. You know,
maybe a cease and desist from Eric Larson.
The impulse,
Hellraiser.
The impulse of the knife hands. It sounds cool when you're 8 years old and you're inventing your own characters and stuff, but the practicality of it.
You can't drive.
Can't wipe your ass.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a dangerous territory. You start thinking about that.
Cutting the razor line, man. Comics is hot, not for long. But at this moment, pretty freaking hot. So everybody's throwing their name in the gimmicks, man. You'll see Leonard Nimoy's name on comics. You'll see Mickey Spillane. Marvel connected with Clive Barker, who already did some Hellraiser comics and things, to create a whole line of books.
Yeah, I bought all of these books for something like $5 for a dollar for this whole run.
It's, yeah.
You know, 50 issues or something whenever you stretch them out. Maybe even more than that, but not... You know, there's little trivia that comes out of them. Like Steve Scroce teams up with one of the Wachowskis, I think, on one of these books.
Yeah.
Who isn't the original creator. Like, they're not listed as the original creative teams here because it's a preview of, like, the four main titles and the creative teams. But, you know, some history there because they go on to work on Matrix together.
Yeah.
Pretty huge.
I think Scroce was young as hell, too, man. I think he might have even been a teenager drawing these books.
Wow. Max Douglas drawing Saint Sinner. I think that's my favorite looking of these books. It's pretty cool art. Has kind of an edge, very textural and stuff. But overall, like you said, this starts when comics are at their peak. And probably by the time it's coming out, it's the market's been saturated. Things are starting to fall down. It's kind of bad, probably a product of bad timing.
You know, he's mentioning Vertigo. He's mentioning Sandman. And... perhaps this is like Marvel, like trying in some form or fashion.
It makes a lot of sense in that context.
In that context, look at the books.
Right.
It's Jim Lee clone Gilberg artwork and stuff. And like, who at the top does not see that this Vertigo stuff is not this Jim Lee stuff? Like, you have the guy, Clive Barker's an incredible pen and ink artist. He's a great painter and stuff. Like that's the aesthetic. There were established Clive Barker comics, even like Tapping the Vein and mm-hmm. stuff. That's the aesthetic. When you move to Gilberg and Jim Lee stuff, that can't be further from the Clive Barker vibe.
Yeah, Marvel was so in on the Chase, the Image clone style.
Yeah.
Like, that became like their 90s house style, and it was so... It just did not hit.
No.
I loved that stuff, and I hated all those... The house style version of it. It's unfortunate. You know, probably lost a generation of creators then. You know, like Herb Trimpe leaves comics at that point.
I mean, like, we're getting in deep, right? And there is artwork that's finished, but they're only giving you the slightest little thumbnail, man, because they know.
Yeah.
You know? They know this ain't long for the world. And they fucking still do this shit to this day, man. A stunt cast in writers and shit like that. And you get your big pop for issue one. Rapid diminishing returns afterward.
Yeah, I hear you. It's cool to see Barker in here, though, talking comics. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is. But it's okay. This is an After Mag interview.
There, yeah,
so he's talking
much.
About how much he loves Wolverine and how... like, it's fucking bullshit. He's bullshit. He's a salesman. Plasm, when it was called Plasm and not Warriors of Plasm.
Yes, before a couple lawsuits there. These Hellraiser books are pretty good. They're anthologies,
yeah.
And there'll be some really good artists that rule through those. Again, for people watching this and are like, oh, I like Clive Barker, that's where I'd point you.
Yeah, for
sure.
Some
of that stuff's strong.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you get Neil Gaiman, Mignola,
mm-hmm.
Alex Ross doing some stuff. Spotlight on Jim Shooter. And dude, he's only 41 years old, and he's already burned through two companies.
Yeah, and 41 years old. I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, 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 sir.
That's some hard living, but I guess, you know, being an editor-in-chief at Marvel is probably going to take some years off your life. Those are dog years working there, I think.
Yeah, stressful, man.
Yeah, the Defiant Universe really never made sense to me. You know, you talk about reading, like, the Razor Line universe in the previous article. You get into the Defiant Universe, and it is really hard to figure out, like, how could this have been I can't explain any of the titles.
When this money's being circulated...
The good guys.
Oh, I know, man. And he's getting dudes like, you know, Claremont, Mike Barr. He's talking about how excited Steve Ditko is to be working for them. And I'm like, I bet not. But some of the people that he got the money from to you know, start this venture, trading card people. So they were immediately like... Well, do we have to wait for the books to come out before the trading cards come out? And he's like, oh, absolutely not. Like, it just seems like such snake oil all around from everybody on that back end, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. This feels like it's put together quickly, and maybe there weren't a lot of options for Jim Shooter to get this to the market.
Was there even a Charlemagne comic? I don't think I've ever seen that cover.
I don't know. Like I said, it's funny to have like the sidebar here where you can literally compare it to that Razorline sidebar in the previous article, because like, it's just nuts. No wonder things are collapsing. Charlemagne, Dark Dominion. Who's excited for these titles?
Yeah.
I always think of Pat Mills when we interviewed him and he's talking about the title, and it's like, it's after the character, you know, whatever the main character is, that's your title. And you read these and think like, Charlemagne.
Yeah.
War Dancer. I don't want to read any of these. Plasm. This is the worst set of titles I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Though I have to check out CrossGen again and see what some of those titles are. Sigil.
True. Very true. Jim. Ah, this is what we're here for, Ed.
I'll tap out. Go ahead, Jim.
I love this so much. Donna Matrick, Mike Saints. We've talked about Mike Saints on a special computer art edition. And this was like his last big comics run, was Donna Matrix, all digital, early 3D digital art, and about this robot, sex robot, who the guy's into some heavy petting, gives it a Navy SEAL program, downloads a Navy SEAL program, she kills him right away, and then goes on the rampage through this city. And it's so disappointing because only one issue exists, and it's probably one of the two comics I've bought the most copies of. When I first found this, I bought like 20 of them, gave them to everybody I was friends with. I dig it. It's a really fun comic. And Mike Saints just disappears after this. It disappoints me as a comics reader, but people would know him from an Iron Man graphic novel he did at Marvel that was digital. It might have had a little bit of 3D in it. And of course, Shatter, the world's first computer generated comic. Interesting cartoonist. I wish that he did more, but I celebrate the stuff he did do.
He talks about how the Iron Man comic actually did really well, but
yeah.
And was expecting Marvel to say, okay, what do you got next for us? And they just never did. That's like how Shatter and stuff comes after that. All right, man. Let's get schooled by Mark A. Nelson from pencils to ink.
First of all, Mark A. Nelson. I would get him and Nelson confused. Mark A. Nelson is the Aliens
artist. Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. That's good to know. This is the worst how-to, one of these installments I've ever seen. So it's the male figure, okay, that makes sense, superhero comics, but he's standing in the least heroic sort of pose I've ever seen in my life. This is awful. There's nothing useful here, is there? It doesn't even have, like, the usual head diagram where you see he's, like, 8 heads tall and where the waistline falls and stuff. This is, man, this feels like something the intern threw together the day before it was going to the printer.
When I was young, I was, like, chasing for some information to just try to figure out where the muscles were, you know, like the anatomy charts and stuff that you would be able to find in the library, too complex. Like, I needed superhero muscles and right. And like these kind of things just would not do it. It's on a weird angle.
It is. It's a weird pose. Like, his weight doesn't look right. He's kind of leaned back a little bit.
Yeah. He's got to point that prow, dude.
I will say the traps are berserk. You know, Goldberg, eat your heart out with these traps, man. That trap is up to and touching his ear.
Yeah.
Man, heavy hitters, second round. Q unit, Carl Alstatter. What a spread.
Comics, boy.
Oh, and then you get to see the elements of style being applied to these, the finished pieces. These are just, I don't know, man. I don't find much of this info useful on this figure.
Yeah, no.
I do like the reader cover art. That Wolverine is a standout for me. I would read Wolverine that had that cover.
I swear you drew something like that before, man.
I think I've drawn 1,000 things like that.
I think I've seen a Cable from you that looked similar.
That Batman is just a direct lift from the Showcase ad.
Yeah, the Klaus Janson.
Yeah,
you're right.
Although, if you're going to lift from somebody, that was a pretty cool drawing. Win a Captain America 100 here. All these giveaway books, phenomenal.
Stacking up that mailing list, man. Look at this, dude. This is a perfect juxtaposition. X-Men 2099 and just Extreme.
Wow.
The X Games came out around this time. Generation X.
Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of X titles.
Dude, I forgot this sort of adjective, man, butt nasty. I remember people saying that, you know, that's butt nasty. I totally remember that.
Were they saying it about Hero Illustrated?
They could. Easily applies, man.
Double Dragon, the movie.
Three Ninjas Go to Japan. Police Academy, Mission to Moscow. Like, it does seem like everything just so it kind of stunk for a nice period of time for a while.
Yeah, it's funny. ElfQuest being talked about here, I don't think that was ever produced.
In perpetuity, man. Like, that thing is always, in some producer's hands. And I think is that Roger Corman Fantastic Four up top there?
Indeed it is. Wow. Pretty cool. Hard Target, Van Damme's John Woo movie mentioned in there.
Is that the one where he's with his twin?
No, you're thinking Double Impact.
I think there were two Jean-Claude Van Damme twin movies.
I think you might be right.
I think there were.
There should be. If you're doing a twin movie, it should automatically generate a sequel. Part of the contract.
The thing is, I don't think it was a sequel.
I need to buy some Trencher original art, I think. I went down a rabbit hole looking at it recently, and you can find some really cheap, and it's no other comic art I've ever seen looks like it.
Yeah.
I think he drew directly to ink, I believe I read. It's just wild stuff. I really am happy Trencher exists.
Dude, even Mirage Studios has a line. I know Stupid Heroes definitely came out. Never heard of Bioneers or Xenotech.
I bet you I have at least one of those. They did 4 issues of Plastron Cafe. They might have done more than that. I have 4 issues of Plastron Cafe. And they would have some of these characters in there. I have to dig those out and see what actually exists. But yeah, I do have Stupid Heroes. Kind of a Kirby riff from Peter Laird. Yeah,
Peter Laird gimmick. The Xenotech, it even has the Jim Lee kind of mark making.
Yeah, it does.
Michael Dooney's a kayfaber. Never knew that he went that direction.
Do you think that might be a cover by somebody and not him, or somebody inking?
It's so different from the work that he does. You're probably right.
Because he was fooling around. I think Dooney is the one that did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Savage Dragon crossover. So he may have been fooling around with some of those Image guys.
Yeah.
To get a pinup or a cover or something. Union was something I was real excited by.
Yeah, more text. Oh, dude. You got a quarter?
Hey, mine are rubbed off. somebody rubbed mine off, didn't win, just left it in there.
See, I feel obligated to do it just for the...
Imagine if you won.
Yeah, totally. This is the kind of thing that could go viral.
That X-Men number one, the odds of winning are 1 in 200,000.
And it has to, all three have to match up?
I have no idea how you play this game.
Okay, we
read know that. That gold foil looks like it's...
But there was suspense there for a moment.
On there. Yeah,
read the rules, because we have two matches.
All these cards should review. Should have two matches. First one.
Mine is so we just have one more to go.
Not even a pair of them. Video game review.
Slowly getting into the 3D era. Dark Knight, Daredevil Year One, or excuse me, Man Without Fear miniseries.
They don't even say what it's called. The title of that series is not listed in this ad. Wow. I like this Mortal Kombat art. Especially that character is really fun.
Yeah, for sure.
The heads on the spikes at the bottom.
These guys were so huge that they were showing up everywhere, and you would get to see sketches and process stuff and all kinds of magazines beyond, Game Pro magazine. It was a phenomenon.
It's always interesting how that happens, those breakouts. How about a Rebel Studios full-color ad?
Yeah, man. Faust 10.
Gunfighters in Hell. Man, somehow I tracked down Gunfighters in Hell back in the day.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that was a late purchase for myself.
Trading cards get their column.
Figures. This pit, the final, yes. The final sculpture for that. There's a set of Ice-T interviews that you could find where he's talking, he's being interviewed in his house, and you look over his shoulder and you could see this pit statue in its final form.
So random.
He's such a nerd. You go into his Twitter and stuff, and he'll holler out his gamer tag on Xbox and shit like that. He's a nerd.
I love the homemade figures, like all those.
Yes.
This is a weird one, this top 10, because I don't think it's based on anything except they're just calling out what they think the top 10 hot books are that are coming out this month. It's not based on sales. It's not based on like demand from
back issues. This is weird. Or, you know,
Wizards top 10.
RC Cola superheroes, man. What they're predicting
to be top 10.
People were making
money.
Number
9, Razor Line.
Talked about that lenticular cover thing. You have a copy. I have a copy. Like, they must have circulated. They must have sold.
I guess so.
There's your Hillary Barta.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know there were two issues of Stupid.
Apparently three with a 3D a 3D variant. I don't think number two. I don't think they're all 3D. I think that's a special. I have to do some research on Stupid this week.
This ad says it all, man. Comics, trading cards. These things were hot at the time. Those Beckett books. Like, you go to the 7-Eleven price guides all over the place, man. Football cards, hockey cards, baseball cards.
By the way, issue one of Hero, they're criticizing the guy who wrote in with the idea of having these hardcovers.
Right.
You know, protecting sealed cases. They thought that was the dumbest thing ever.
And there it is, man. All you got to do is send them some ad dollars.
I like that ad for Razor Line. That's probably the coolest piece of Razor Line art that I've seen.
Still keeping that art real small, man.
The smaller, the better.
So, Jim, will there be an issue 3 of Hero Illustrated? I think the kayfabe is going to decide that.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments below.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Join me on patreon.com/JimRug, where you can download my out-of-print, hard-to-find zines and mini-comics. You can see my original art, scripts, notes, how I make the comics I make, all of that and more. Patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room, issue 1, out on the stands right now. As of this recording, we have issue 2 off to the presses. It's going to be coming out every month.
To read the comics ahead of time.
$3 to get you the archive there, and there are the more than 100 pages website. Right now. The link tree in the description below can take you there.
The link tree
can also take you to my Patreon. Patreon.com/EdPiscor. Jamie, give him one less set of marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.